You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It is B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. We're working on getting Mark Zuckerman on. We'll talk to him coming up in just a couple of minutes. B. Mitch, I wanted to tell you this. So when the Dodgers come to town, I was over there in Nats Park yesterday.
Yeah.
When the Dodgers come to town,
yeah,
it's like the Beatles came to town.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of reporters in there is insane, B-Mitch.
Bro, their group is a bunch of rock stars.
It's like 5-1.
Yeah.
Dodgers reporters to Nats reporters.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad the Nats beat them.
Absolutely.
I didn't think it was going to happen. I'm serious.
By the way, like, three hits for Ohtani last night. He was a double shy of the cycle. And there are so many Japanese reporters that follow Ohtani. They've got a bunch of them, too. They got Yoshinobu Yamamoto. They've got Roki Sasaki. A bunch of Japanese players who are really, really good. So they have a big contingent of Japanese reporters. It's just funny because usually in the press box, B-Mitch, it's, you know, a couple of people. There's plenty of seats. Not yesterday.
Oh, no
not
seats.
Yesterday, not for the Dodgers series. Yeah, there's a lot of people there. So it's kind of cool to see, but it was good to watch them last night. Mackenzie Gore has been really, really good to start
the season.
Yeah,
that's what I was about to say. So he's the thing about this team for a while now, the starting pitching has been there. The bullpen hasn't been.
Oh.
I have all the faith in the world in Rizzo, but who's coming up that could be in the bullpen, that's going to be something that you could be laying your hat on. You know what I mean?
That's the tough part, B. Mitch, is they talked about Ferrer, right? The lefty that throws real hard.
Mm-hmm.
He's come out of the pen a couple of times this season, and he's been right there. The stuff is electric. He's throwing 97 from the left side with a good slider and a good changeup. But he's like one pitch away and then gives up the big hit,
yeah,
right? The backbreaker. And they want to trust him. They've been using him in more big spots, but at some point you got to have the results in the field. And some of it's been good, some of it's been bad. Young guy, but to your point,
but it's been some years now.
It is.
That has been a problem for years, where starting pitching on point, bullpen. Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know I was talking about this with Grant. I don't know when this team has had a good bullpen, because even when you go back to 2019 when they won the World Series, going into that postseason, that was the worst bullpen ERA to ever make the postseason.
Yeah.
And to tell you how much Davey trusted the bullpen, he almost never pitched him aside from Doolittle and Hudson. Right? Like he's like, can I throw Corbin out there on a non-star
day? But they had Doolittle and Hudson.
They did. They
don't have
two
a
guys.
Doolittle or Hudson right now.
They don't. And credit to Kyle Finnegan, by the way.
Yeah.
Three straight days. Last night goes out there, gets five outs, throws 30-plus pitches on a third straight day. Really impressive work from him. So they're playing better baseball. This is a big series for them, B-Mitch, because they started the year so poorly. They were 1-6 to start the year. It looked like it was getting late pretty early on in the season for a 162-game season. It looked like it was getting pretty gloomy already. But they won two games against the Diamondbacks, which you felt good about. And now the Dodgers series, they got a chance tonight to maybe win the series against the Dodgers, and that's a real easy way to tell people to shut up if you can beat the Dodgers two out of three.
I mean, I think they beat the Dodgers two out of three. They're telling landfill, shut up. Going straight to landfill.
Yeah, we're going to go straight to landfill and tell them to shut up. We'll still try and get Mark Zuckerman on here in just a little bit. I wanted to read the say hello to the chat this morning. The first person in the chat is Lawrence, and I think you'll enjoy this, B. Mitch. Mm-hmm. He says, good morning, fam. 149 days until football.
See, normally I always feel, wait till you get inside of 100, but it just lets you know how people are looking forward to it. They are starting now, 149.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, you probably put 150 away.
Oh, yeah.
But normally that starts inside of 100 days.
And then, what is it, three weeks?
When it gets close to 3 months, people lose their minds.
It's, 3 weeks and 2 days until the NFL draft, the first round of the NFL draft?
I don't even think it's 3 weeks.
I think it's April 24th, so I think it's 3 weeks.
But dude, today is the 8th.
Well, yeah, that's 3 weeks.
16 days, that's 2 weeks.
10 to 21 is 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks. No, yeah, you're right. I'm an idiot.
Landfill, I got a question for you, okay? Is it just that seat? Because everybody that sits in that seat cannot count.
Nobody who sits there knows how to count. I don't understand.
I need to change the chair.
I told
out.
You it's the 8th.
I promise
and you. And you go, yeah, the 24th. The 3 weeks. No, 3 times 7, 21, bro.
Look, man, I promise you that I was good at math in school. I think JP's done something to this chair and put a hex on it or
because,
something.
Damn.
Because that's
I have done the show
math.
With several people. And everybody in that chair says something crazy when it comes to numbers.
That is some bad math. But, yeah, I can't wait for the NFL draft. Are you going to be out there in Green Bay?
No, I'm going to be out there in Ashburn.
Okay, I don't blame you on that one.
Listen, I don't know how the NFL decided to put the draft in Green Bay. I'll be totally honest with you. When you go up to Green Bay, when you go up there, Wisconsin, anytime, you stay in Milwaukee.
Yep, yep.
You drive out to Whistling Straits, mm-hmm. Aaron Hills, Black Wolf Run.
Yeah.
You don't stay there. Now, if you stay on the golf campus, you're there to golf. There is nothing in Green Bay but that stadium and a bunch of Packer fans.
Oh, yeah.
There are not many hotels. They're not huge, for sure. So I think they're going to be overwhelmed.
Oh,
the draft.
There's no question it's going to be.
You will not have as many people as you had in Detroit. I'll just say it like
it
that.
It is going to be a show, B. Mitch. Just looking at it right now, by the way, too. I know it's a couple of weeks from now. Not three full weeks, B. Mitch, but a couple of weeks from now. It's 28 degrees in Green Bay right now.
See. That's one of the reasons why my agent hit me like when I was late in my career. And he said, Green Bay called. I said, you tell him don't call back.
Hey, listen, it's not too bad in September and October. I've been up there. You get November and December.
September and October. There are 10 other months left in the damn. So I had two opportunities to go up north to play ball. Green Bay and Saskatchewan. And I refused to even visit.
Yeah, I don't
blame
you.
If it's 50 degrees in August, I don't want to be there when September, October, November, December come around.
Yeah, I don't blame you one bit.
I just don't, but seriously, I don't know how they end up getting the draft.
It's going to be a show.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Maybe a show.
Last night was a show. The Nationals getting the win over the Dodgers 6-4. Joining us now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, is Mark Zuckerman from MadisonSports.com. Mark, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing good, Mark. What's happening with you?
That was a fun game last night.
Yeah,
I know, Toby, you were there. That was like, I know it's nothing compared to a playoff atmosphere, and it's only early April. But as far as games that this team has played the last few that they've played, and they rose to the moment, it was a lot of fun. It's the kind of thing you hope there's more of to come because it reminds you of what it used to be like on a more regular basis around here.
What's your thoughts on Mackenzie Gore?
You know, he is, I think, really embracing the idea of being the ace of the staff. That doesn't mean that he's going to pitch like this every single night, and doesn't mean that he's, you know, Max Scherzer yet. But what I loved about him last night was he understood what the situation was. They were going to have a short bullpen. They are starting Brad Lord tonight as a guy who can only go three or four innings because he hasn't been stretched out enough yet. So he understood, like, they needed him to give them length last night, to go as far into that game as he could, and also, by the way, pitch well enough to give him a chance to win. And he took that assignment and he ran with it and gave him six really good innings. He finished strong. And I give him credit because I think he is growing into this role of understanding what they need him to be and how he came through on a night when they needed that for him. That the stats, the final pitching line may not look overwhelming, but that to me was like an ace-like performance and the kind of thing that you hope to see more of from him.
Yeah, I mean, you needed it, and he came out and played well enough that you're still in the ball game. Gives up the two-run homer to Shohei, bounces back. I think that's the thing I want to ask you about, Mark, is he kind of deflects it every time we ask him about his growth mentally, because to me, the stuff's always been there. Maybe you could talk about being a little better with command and control, whatever, but the main thing for me has been mentally. He would struggle at times where pitch to pitch, one would be bad, and the next thing it just turns into a 6-7 run inning. He's been so much better this season. I could tell, it felt like I could tell the difference in spring training. Have you seen that difference as time has gone on, where this year it just feels different, that mentally he can move past things and move past mistakes like he couldn't before?
Yeah, I have seen that. And even going back to late last season, he had a really rough stretch over the summer. And we were all starting to question, well, maybe he's not what he's supposed to be. And then he finished, I think it was like his last seven starts, he had a 1.5 ERA. And there were some good teams he was facing in there. The Yankees, I remember, was one of them. And he kind of figured out, okay, I can't wear my emotions on my sleeve the way that I do. When something goes wrong, like, it's okay to be emotional, but you can't let that affect the next thing that you do. And I think that was his biggest undoing at times last year, is that when something would go wrong, it would spiral out of control. And I think he's done such a better job now of understanding, okay, look, you make a bad pitch to Shohei Ohtani, you give up a two-run homer, guess what? He's the best player in the world.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world for you. Come back out and get the next guy. And you saw that last night, and you've seen it more consistently here. And what's going to allow him to ultimately become a number one starter, we know that when he's on, he can be fantastic, like he was against the Phillies on opening day.
Mm-hmm.
The key there is, and the nights when he's not at his best, and that was the case in Toronto last week, can you just minimize the damage and not let it get out of hand? And that's what he did in that game. It was only five innings, but he gave three runs, and there was a chance for it to be worse, and he made sure that it wasn't. Same thing last night, although even better than that. Never let it get out of control. Really, it was just the one guy who beat him. Everybody else he took care of. That's a big natural step for him now to take and avoid the bad blow-up innings, and I think all of a sudden he looks like a much better pitcher.
All right, look on the other side, our bats, Dylan Cruz. We had a lot of talk about him coming in. He started off struggling. He started to get some hits as of late. What are your thoughts on him, and is this just a young guy learning the majors?
Yeah, he is, and we have to remember how quickly he came up.
Mm-hmm.
Drafted the previous summer, and then he ends up in the big leagues late last season. He only played 31 games in the big leagues last year, and there's obviously a lot of expectation on him, and that's fine. I mean, that's fair. He was one of the best college prospects to come out in quite a while. But there is still a learning curve. And I think in his case, here's a guy who probably hasn't struggled to any extent in his baseball life in a long time, if ever. And so how do you deal with that when it does happen? Those first week of the season for him, it was rough. It was, what, eight straight strikeouts at one point. He's swinging at everything. But you start to see better signs. He was making solid contact, even if they weren't falling for hits. And now in the last few days, you are seeing it come together a lot better. And he's too talented. He works too hard. He cares too much, I think, for it to last forever. I mean, he's going to be a good big league player. But like everyone, you kind of have to learn how to fail first mm-hmm. and how to get through that. And we're starting to see the signs of that from him. And I think it's been nice also to see him in center field. Jacob Young's had a few he struggled, so they put Dylan in center. And he plays really well out there. He's very comfortable and natural out there. And what I've liked is that even when at the plate he's been not himself, he hasn't let that take over the other part of his game. He's separating two parts of the game. That's a really encouraging sign.
Talking with Mark Zuckerman from MassinSports.com. Last one here for you, Mark. This team has talked about all leading up to the season, early on in the season, about how they want to contend, or at least they want to try to vie for a playoff spot. They want to be better than they were the last couple of seasons. How important do you think it is these next two games when you're not facing the cream of the crop from the Dodgers rotation to see if you can get one of the two and win this series against the Dodgers?
Oh, I think it'd be a huge psychological boost. I mean, especially just a few days ago, we're talking about them at, 1-6 and, thinking, well, how through this homestand, given who's still to come, the fact they took 2 out of 3 from a very good Diamondbacks team, you already won the series opener against the Dodgers. Like you said, if you win just one more of these, you come out of the opening stretch of the season at 5-7. Not bad, all things considered, given who you were playing and the struggles that first week. And now the schedule softened somewhat on the upcoming road trip. To me, the biggest thing for them this year was they need to get off to at least a decent start. Doesn't have to be a great start, but if you can just be hovering around 500, you start to believe in yourself. And as the season plays out, you're not facing this uphill climb right from the start. So they kind of put themselves in a hole. But the fact they've won 3 in a row, and if you can get one more here this series, I think it changes the outlook a lot and allows them to move forward and just go play relaxed and try to go on a little bit of a winning streak. And next thing you know, you're making it interesting this summer.
Mark, always good to chat. I'll see you at the ballpark
tonight. Appreciate you, Mark.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right, man.
That's Mark Zuckerman from MassinSports.com.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junks. We're going to talk some Masters coming up at 925 with Carl Paulson, former PGA Tour player. Now he's an analyst on Sirius XM. But joining us right now, as he does throughout the season, on the Rude Guest Hotline, it's Mike Rizzo, President General Manager of your Washington Nationals. He's presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Chunkies. How are you guys?
Doing well. Good. Great. And the Nationals are playing some good baseball here against the Dodgers. Some people expected a wipeout, but you guys are taking it to them.
Yeah, they're playing good baseball against, you know, two really good teams. You know, our schedule has been no joke. So, you know, coming out of the gates with, you know, the Phillies and, you know, going to Toronto, and then you get a bunch of playoff teams and the world champs, you know, the first couple of weeks of the season. But, you know, I like we've kind of kept a head above water. We've been, you know, I think we're getting a feel for each other and kind of getting our role system together in the bullpen and, you know, kind of getting some consistency offensively. And, you know, the one constant has been, you know, our starting pitching has been solid and our defense has been solid. So I think that if that continues throughout the year, I think you'll see an improvement in the pitching staff, both on the relief corps and in the rotation.
And Mike, it has to feel good too for you guys to kind of patchwork together, you know, a starting rotation for this one game with Brad Lord getting the first three innings. He goes scoreless, and basically you bullpen to win over one of the better lineups in the league. So that has to give you some confidence too.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of a planned a fire drill, if you will. You know, we had Lord planned penciled in the start as soon as Soroka went to the injured list, and you know that'll continue in place until he gets back. And you know, Brad did a heck of a job for us. You know, he's, you know, one of our bright prospects. He was our pitcher of the year last year in the minor leagues, and you know, a Triple A starter and a starter throughout his career. He just had such a great great spring training. We just couldn't send him to the minor leagues and not make the team. He pitched so well for us, and he's such a big piece for us going forward. But you know, he's taken to the bullpen role, but we still see his future as a rotation starter. So he did a great job, and then Ribalta, Rutledge, and Poche did the rest, and our offense carried us and allowed it to be a, you know, kind of a comfortable win for us.
The Washington Post did a good write up about him. He's the guy that was working at Home Depot and dealing with Christmas trees, right?
Yeah, I guess he had an off-season job at Home Depot. And, you know, a lot of these minor league players do stuff in the off-season like that. I remember when I was in the minor leagues, we used to bartend and UPS drivers and substitute teachers. I did all those things while I was in the minor leagues. And these guys do it about the same. So
what was your best cocktail that you could pour? Could you do anything complicated?
I was in a kind of a shot and beer place, but okay. You know, I can make a nasty screwdriver. You know what I mean?
Okay. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty simple.
It was a simple place.
Yeah, he's a dive bar bartender. I like it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So James, a big day yesterday. I mean, just developing nicely. I don't know why I was thinking about this. Maybe because I remember talking to you about Ohtani when he was coming up, and you know, you got Cruz, you got all these young players. And all your years, Mike, of all the guys you scouted, who was the biggest no-brainer, one, like a thousand times out of a thousand, this guy's a lock that you scouted and drafted? Did you ever have one?
You know, I think the closest to that, in my opinion, was Frank Thomas when we drafted him in 89. He was probably as no-brainer as going to be a big league hitter as there was. And, you know, Harp was pretty much a consensus, you know, a 1-1 type of guy that was going to make it. So we've had a few of those guys, but they're few and far between, and they're a lock, no doubt, 100% big leaguer, you know, until the first time they go 0-10, and then people start questioning them. And
right.
And so I think that, you know, that lock status is, you know, it's kind of overblown a little bit. And, you know, that's the beauty of baseball too. You know, you get an 18th round kid like Brad Lord, and he's striking out Ohtani twice.
You know, Alex Call is like, he's a great role player for you guys. He's played in six games, maybe more this year. He's hitting 444, had a couple hits, a few in that last game against Arizona, had a hit, a couple runs scored last night, plays good defense. I mean, Alex Call is a great, you know, fill-in for, you know, if you want to throw James Wood into the DH role.
He's a great player, period. Yeah. You know, he's a solid guy. He plays the game the right way. He really knows how to play all facets of the game. He's a good base runner. He steals you a base, mm-hmm. plays good defense in all three outfield positions. He's a good contact bat with sneaky power, and he runs well. So, you know, this guy is a perfect complement for a roster, and he can, you know, he's one of these bench guys that plays a lot and can contribute a lot off the bench, and even when he starts for a chunk of time in a row. So he's a valuable asset for us. He's a big time makeup guy and plays the game the right way with his hair on fire and really knows how to play the nuances of the game. So we're pleased where he's at, and he's another guy that just can, you know, contributes quietly but is a big part of what we're doing.
Did you trade for him, or did you pick him up off waivers?
Waiver claim, yeah.
Waiver, wow.
So Mike, you know, we asked you about Cruz last week, and he was struggling a little bit. Now he's heating up a little. I think he's had 4 hits, 4 runs scored in his last 3 games. Have you noticed anything different, or is it just time, and he's just doing his thing?
You know, before, I think he's 5 for his last 15, and they took a hit away from him by the official score. But, you know, even when he wasn't in Toronto, I saw him getting his timing down in Toronto where, you know, he had hit 4 or 5 balls, you know, exit velocity of his over 100 miles an hour, but they were caught, you know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. You know, I think that you know, you see his swing flattening out a little bit. I think he's, you know, he's worked hard with Darnell and Chris Johnson, I just think that you know, I always say they call them averages for a reason. You know, you start slow, you end fast, and that's you know, mm-hmm. that's kind of what it's all about. It's a long season, ebbs and flows, especially offensively. You know, you know, I think that you know, it all comes out, and it all comes out at the end. You know what kind of player you are, and you know, the credit I give to him is obviously, you know, he's, you know, it's so early in the season, but he's, you know, stick to it, worked hard, but it never affected the rest of his game. Played great defense for us, even while he was slumping a little bit. Ran the bases well, and always plays hard. He's one of the fastest guys in the league, and runs down the first base on routine ground balls as good as anybody we've got. So that's all part of what he brings to the ball club. And you know, the first Dodger game, you saw him, be a selfless team player by, you know, he moved a runner from second to third with nobody out. We've sacrificed flag. We scored a big run for us. So those are the type of things that he brings to the party. And you know, he's a good all around player that's got a chance to be a really, really good player for us.
I'm sure it's impossible, but just for the fun of it, is there one stat that will sum up everything? Like, is exit velocity, like, all things, throw everything out, that's the one stat you guys look at to know how a guy's kind of going?
No, I don't look at one specific stat. You know, I kind of just go by the eye test to see how he's swinging it. Mm-hmm. But some of the velocities and analytics kind of verify what you kind of see with your naked eye. I think that you could say early on in the season that he was kind of hitting in bad luck. You know, I mean, hitting the ball hard but right at people. And you know, I think the odds there and the averages there, you know, had to change. He's just too good of a player with too good of a track record to continue at that pace.
Mike, CJ was, you know, doing the pregame warmups yesterday before the game. He looked okay, but he clearly wasn't 100%. The thighs still give him a problem. How was he feeling before deciding not to go yesterday? And then do you expect him to go today?
I think he's fine. Yeah, he's going to be fine. To rush him out, he's got a little quad thing going on, and what was it? 35 degrees or 40 right, degrees right. yesterday. It was kind of would have been kind of foolish. So I think that with the young playing defensively at shortstop the way he does, he gives us a good veteran presence over there. I think it gives you the luxury of making sure that you can wait and make sure that that CJ's fully healthy. We have a day off tomorrow. We play in Miami indoors and in the warm weather. So I don't know what Davey's got planned for today. I think if he's healthy, he'll be in there for sure, if he's 100%. But if he's not 100%, there's no sense of playing him on another cool, spring day and with a day off tomorrow. So Mike, I'm not sure what the lineup will be.
Okay. You mentioned you head to Miami, so three games over the weekend in Miami. Then you're in Pittsburgh for four, then Colorado for three. Will Mike Rizzo travel to these locations?
I will be there. Yes, I will be on this road trip, and be nice to get in the warm weather again in Florida, but it's a long, arduous trip. It's a tough one to pack for. Miami, Pittsburgh, Colorado. It's one of these bring the big suitcase type of trips because you're going to need warm weather gear and cold weather gear and everything else. So,
and then what is the
going to be fun?
What's the Rizzo protocol? Do you have to like FaceTime the wife and check in with the kid?
And Sonny,
what's the deal? Like once a day? Like what happens?
Yeah, I think that Sonny is he misses his dad a lot when he's not here, so it's good. Yeah, we have to keep in touch with Sonny. We have to FaceTime and he only FaceTimes usually for a minute or two, and then he's flying around somewhere right. else. So he's moving on to bigger and better things.
Awesome.
Well, let's get a sweep over the Dodgers, man. That's Dodgers started off 8-0, and everyone's talking about how they were unbeatable and they're going to win 120 games. And you guys have taken the first two.
You got Irvin on the bump tonight.
Got Jake
right?
Irvin going today. Nice. And let's get the sweepy. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, well, that's now it's time to get greedy. You win the series, now you get greedy and try and sweep it and move on and have a happy flight. So
that's right.
We're gonna we'll show up and give it our best.
And this is a game Jason can stay up for 4:05 start.
4:05 start. I can watch all nine
and bet on it
all night. Yeah. You'll be nodding out at the ninth, though. You'll be nodding.
Probably. Yeah. I'll take the melatonin top of the eighth.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Safe travels.
All right, buddy.
Mike Rizzo, president and GM of the Washington Nationals. He's presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put their team in your office. Visit mstreetbank.com for more information. Curious, because you go to bed. Now, you watch TV from your bed.
Yes.
What time did you get to bed? Because I was thinking about this. So I finished coaching soccer 6:45. Were you in bed already?
I think I was just finishing dinner.
Unbelievable.
Then I went upstairs and, got into bed, started watching the Nats game, and probably watched about five or six innings. So probably fell asleep, call it 8:30. And then I had just the worst stomach issue in the middle of the night.
You had a little rumbly?
I'll have to tell you off air exactly what happened. But
well, I can imagine what happened.
I was in the shower laying down. It was so bad.
Did you have to go poopy?
So
you just had major stomach
issues, still having rumbling the tumbling.
You're
now
in the fetal position,
but I kind of passed out in the shower.
Ooh. Oh man,
my wife said I'm gonna call 911.
And what'd you say?
I said, no, I'm gonna be fine,
I'm gonna soldier through this.
The last thing I wanted was six or seven guys coming in an ambulance and me laying there in the shower
naked.
That wasn't happening.
And then the diagnosis is he has diarrhea.
Yeah.
Oh, but it was, you don't understand, it was bad. It was real bad.
Sounds bad.
It was.
Were you sweating?
No, I just had the worst stomach pains, and I couldn't get rid of them. And then I went into the shower to clean up, and I passed out.
What'd you have for dinner? Food poisoning?
It was Taco Tuesday.
Probably the culprit.
Probably, but who knows?
It's spicy. Didn't agree with your system.
You have to choose. I've got IBS. I got IBS. I got major IBS. Believe me, you can laugh about it now, but it was
sounds pretty serious.
Last night, I didn't. I don't know what the hell
made
going
it through.
On. Yeah, but anyway, hopefully tonight will be a lot better.
Good.
Showers can be dicey. I passed out coming out of a shower 2 months ago.
That's where John donked off in the shower.
But believe me, I was thinking about it. But I knew it wasn't my heart.
Yeah, right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, I didn't ask you this the last time because it totally slipped my mind, but I'll end with this, and I only have a minute. Are you going to buy the Nationals or not?
I think we've been through this. I would like to, but I'd say not right now because, you know, there's no conversations. They don't seem to be for sale, and I'm going to continue to be a fan and a good friend of the families, and we have interest, but right now I would not say that there is a process going on and that there's anything of meaning happening.
Would it be a good thing for sports fans in this city or a bad thing if one person owned three of the major four teams?
I can totally understand why a fan would say that's not a good thing. From the business side, it might be needed because in baseball, as I've said, there are teams, and I've been doing a lot of research on this, there are teams that are spending $500 million and there are teams spending $50 million. And you can't have a league where there's big markets and they can spend 10 times teams in small markets. And that's how baseball is set up. We've built a really, really big, important company, Monumental Sports. We have, you know, we own our network, and we have the building, and we're making big investments in the building, and we own multiple teams. We have wherewithal to be able to compete with teams in big markets, right? And so, you know, it's scale economics become important if baseball stays the way it is, right? I mean, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Yankees, the Red Sox, they're valued very, very highly, and they spend a lot of money. And so, you know, the NHL, there's a hard cap. In basketball, you can pay the tax, but in baseball, you spend what you want to spend. The Dodgers spent billions of dollars this offseason. Billions, right? So how are you going to compete with that?
Well, if you own the team, we'll be holding you to spending a lot more than the Lerners have spent recently.
Well, now that you've told me that, I'm definitely not buying the team.
I got to run. I really appreciate the time. Right. You know how much I appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks, man. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Ted Leonsis, everybody.
On yesterday's show, owner Ted Leonsis gave us nearly 30 minutes after Alex Ovechkin's record. And before we said goodbye, the idea of him buying the Nationals came up. Remember, Leonsis tried to buy the Nationals. The Lerners didn't agree to a price. That was a couple of years ago. And so we wanted to know, is he still interested? And he made no bones about it. He absolutely would still like to buy the baseball team. Of course, he owns the Caps. He owns the Wiz, the Mystics, and several other entities in town. The CEO of Monumental Sports and Entertainment. But this is what Leonsis said on Grant and Danny yesterday about buying the Nationals.
I'm forever interested. The season started, and that should be a signal that the Lerner family is very committed and the team's really not for sale. And I think where the Lerner family is, and we haven't had active conversations, is they're rebuilding the team. They're excited about the team. The new season has started. They don't want any rumors, any hoopla about corporate developments. They want to focus on the team. And I totally understand that and respect that. Mark Lerner came to the game when Alex scored two goals, met Wayne Gretzky. I mean, we're close friends. I love the family. I'm going to be here. We'll keep the lights on, but there's nothing active going on. And, you know, I'm going to go out and buy season tickets for the Nationals. It's hard to go to games, you know, when Caps are still in season, Wizards are still in season. But I look forward to going and checking out the team. And, you know, I enjoy going to baseball games. So I'm interested. But it doesn't seem right now that they're that interested, and I totally understand why.
It's a great answer. That is newsy. That made the rounds yesterday and is certainly something that I'd say ends any speculation that Leonsis wouldn't want to buy the team at this point. The cliff notes of that one-minute answer, forever interested, his interest is not waning. They're not going to be talking about selling the team with him in season, so no reason really at this point to consider it, but he said, I'll be here. You know, we'll leave the lights on, meaning call me when you're ready.
The instant you're ready to sell, I'll be forever interested. That's a pretty big tell.
Forever interested. Yeah. I'll be here whenever you need me. You just call. I want to buy the team. They don't want to sell it to me right now. It was kind of the last sentence there, paraphrasing. He's interested. They're not as interested. But I posted those quotes, you know, what he just said, what you just heard. I tweeted them out yesterday. And I was pretty shocked by the response. What I mean by that is to say there were several people, I would say half of the people, whose response was something along the lines of, oh, I wouldn't want Ted to buy the Nationals, which I don't understand at all, to be honest with you. Now, if the argument is just you don't want one owner to own all your teams, I do get that because as we've seen, with Leonsis as the owner of the Capitals and the Wizards, it can be really hard at any given moment, especially when the seasons conflict, to feel like, I know Wizards fans have long felt like they get the shaft or whatever, like, you know, it's on, everything is, everybody's getting 100%. Whether that's perception or reality, I understand that that is a fear that fans have.
Right.
And just generally speaking, when one person in town owns everything, it's a, you know, like any monopoly of sorts. I mean, there are drawbacks to that. So if your fear is just the amount of things he'd own, I guess I could, well, not my priority or something I care about, I could reckon that. But the current situation with the Nationals very, very clearly is that there is no other suitor at this moment. There's nobody else publicly saying they want to buy it. The last time that they were on the market, by all accounts, the only person that was particularly interested in buying them was Ted Leonsis. So to me, as of right now, it's a, would you rather the Lerners continue to own this thing in perpetuity, or Leontes swoop in and buy this thing? And to me, that's the biggest no-brainer ever. Twofold. One, I desperately want a real television product so badly. That's not to knock Bob and Franny, who do a good job in-game, but I want pregame and postgame. See what they do for the Capitals and the Wizards. They do real-life sports programming.
Mm-hmm.
They have shoulder programs. They have content all day long. I want that badly for my baseball team, and I think it's absurd that we don't have it.
Agreed.
The path to that, very clearly, is Ted buying the team very easily because he made the case on our show again yesterday that he has no interest in buying the TV rights if he doesn't own the team, which... Yeah, he basically says there's not money in it at this point. I'll take his word for it. Yeah. I don't know how the business part of that works. I'll bet he does. But how many off seasons do you want to sit and watch them spend no money and do nothing as an organization? I would love to just try something else. That's the other part of this, baseball-wise, not just the TV part of it with Masson being gone. But Leontes' Capitals resume is pretty fantastic. Now, the Wizards' resume clearly is not, but I don't know, Danny. I have, if it's really a two-horse race, which is how I view it, Lerner's keep owning this thing for a long time. Ted Leontes takes over. I badly want Ted Leontes to take over.
If that's the frame or the framing, then you're right, it's a no-brainer. In other words, you're counting on, if you're Team Lerner, for the sake of argument, just to set this conflict up, if you're Team Lerner, then you're saying at some point it's going to change, not based on the last 5 years, not based on any statistical evidence, just based on what it was at one point, a.k.a. not a ridiculous spend, but a very competitive spend for the Nationals. Right, there may have been times where there was some nickel-diming, but that's pro sports. No fan base thinks their ownership group is perfect. There's always going to be gripes in every sport, no matter what. But the Nationals had a competitive payroll. Their payroll now is, it doesn't look as bad as it actually is because they're still paying Steven Strasburg.
Yeah,
it still counts.
The payroll of the players that play is near the bottom of baseball.
It's Marlins-y.
It's ridiculous. It's piratesy. It's unacceptable.
Yeah, and the idea, if you say, well, I'd rather have the Lerners do it, is you're assuming or hoping, based on what I don't know, that it'll go back to what it was at some point. Maybe when all the money goes into their account from the back pay from Masson, or maybe something changes. I don't know what it would be, but maybe then they'll go and do what they wanted, what they're supposed to be doing. That's the argument. Other than that, I can't figure it out.
There is nothing that has happened over the last several years that would make you think that is the case. This offseason was the tell. Like, I had been very patient and just kind of like, hey, well, I don't know what I don't know. It's a rebuild. There's no real reason to spend. You know, maybe they'll flip the switch. This was the flip the switch off the season. You don't get to just keep, well, maybe in a year. Of course, it's so easy for you to keep me waiting when every offseason you can go, well, there's always next offseason. There's always another one where you might spend. But what they did this offseason, $9 million for Mike Soroka as a starting pitcher that most teams viewed as a reliever, and Nathaniel Lowe at first base, who you had to trade a reliever to go get to inherit a contract while the Rangers were trying to downsize financially at first base. So your baseball ops people found a good deal. That was the offseason. You didn't spend money on your bullpen. You didn't upgrade in other areas. You did nothing to generate excitement. Like, we're a week into the season. Is there excitement about the Nats? I love the Nats. I'm over there all the time. I was there last night. I'll be there tomorrow. I've been at 5 games already. There's Dodgers fans and 7,000 of us over there last night in the cold. People just aren't that excited about it.
They're not.
You didn't give them a reason to be excited. But that's the part I don't get is, oh, well, I hope he doesn't buy the Nats. Are you a Nats fan? For what reason? We also talk about the fact that they have not paid or kept any of their own. Guess what? Alex Ovechkin, 20 seasons with the Washington Capitals, a 13-year record contract, a 5-year contract on the back end of that at the end of his career. Nicholas Backstrom, a 10-year contract. TJ Oshie, a massive 8-year contract. They have paid their own. John Carlson, 8-year, $64 million, was one of the biggest contracts for defensemen, if not the biggest at that time. They have taken care of their guys. They have set the market. You know, Leontes talked yesterday about the commitment they like making to their players. That's been one of the big bugaboos. Is it perfect?
I'm not trying to sell you that this is the greatest situation in the world. If some Jeff Bezos like billionaire was going to outspend Steve Cohen is waiting in the wings to come buy this thing, then I want them too. I want the guy that's going to have the $600 million payroll and compete with the Dodgers for Shohei and the Mets for Soto. Yeah, let's do that. But that guy ain't walking through the door. That's not realistic.
It doesn't seem to be.
There's no one that wants to buy this team right now, basically other than Rubenstein, who's already got his team, the Orioles, and he's checked out, and now Ted Leonsis.
And again, if that's the realistic scenario, which is all we know so far, is one person has declared, again, on our show and with the previous offer, that he has tried to buy them and would buy them if he was allowed to make an offer on them. If that's the choice, it's a binary, it's pretty easy to me. And, I'm not the world's biggest Ted Leonsis cheerleader when it comes to his ownership. I think criticisms of him with the Wizards over years are justified. I just don't think he understood the sport. If he would have read his own ownership manifesto about how to build a winner, he would have done things a lot differently. But that's a small gripe. It's all relative here. You're talking about an engaged owner that at least has a philosophy and a plan versus whatever this is for the Nationals. To me, it's obvious. Like, I'm still hoping for the White Knight. I'm hoping for someone to come riding in and my Steve Cohen, but I don't know where that guy is. Totally. If he's out there, hear my voice, I'm available.
Charlie Slows joins us to do just that after calling a win over the World Series champion Dodgers, 3 in a row for the Nats. Charlie, 4-6 sounds a whole lot better than 1-6, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely does. And get the feeling of a win. And last night, in very unbaseball-like conditions, temperature getting into the low 40s late in the game, 22,000 plus last night, might have been well over 30 on a nice night with warmer weather, or even a weekend for sure. But that was a playoff type feel game last night.
So how are they gonna handle the pitching today? It looks like Brad Lord on the bump to start, but Kyle Finnegan's thrown for 3 straight days, had to get 5 outs last night. How's this one gonna go today, Charlie?
We'll probably see Lord for 45 to 50 pitches, however far that gets them, and then we'll see if Davey plays matchups. He has another arm that can pitch multiple innings in Jackson Rutledge. Orlando Ribalta can give him multiple innings. And then he should have Jose Ferrer back in the bullpen tonight. Jorge Lopez would be available. Sims, maybe, maybe not. Salazar, maybe, maybe not. Finnegan, if he's available, will probably need an investigation. But this, I'll give you a little preview. He's on Nats on Deck with Dave tonight, and Dave asked him, "Do you have one in you?" He said, "Well, this might be a spa day for him."
That's funny. Yeah, he needs it. 3 straight days.
He deserves it. Feed up.
30 plus pitches on day 3. That's unheard of. It doesn't happen. It kind of is a state of the union on that bullpen, though. It's an indictment, I think, because I get the sense Davey realized you got a lead, you got a chance to beat the Dodgers, you got to pounce, and I don't know that he trusted anybody else to get him across the finish line.
Well, and there were a couple of guys unavailable, too. So Finnegan said he was good to go. He's more experienced, so you trust him. I thought, if he got them out of the 8th inning and they didn't score another run after he'd come into the game, that maybe they would go with somebody else in the 9th inning. So he threw 15 pitches in the 8th, and they didn't get anybody up, so we could see that he was going to come back for the 9th. I'll tell you what, that was big time last night, what he did. For all the analytics people who look at it and say, well, his hard hit rate, he doesn't get enough strikeouts, he doesn't do all the things that you really want in a closer, and maybe why he was out there as a free agent all winter. But you know what he gets? He gets outs most of the time. And if you have as many save chances as he did last year, and you get 38 and you only mess up 5, that's still a really high percentage, because the top closers in baseball are not going to save every game.
C.J. Abrams' health, how's he doing?
They're going to sit him again tonight. He might be available to pinch it. They're hoping that he'll be able to play tomorrow. And if he isn't, they have a day off Thursday and think that he'll definitely be ready by Friday. I mean, when you have that type of thing this early in the year and, the temperature is going to be in the 40s again, I think they're just being very careful with him. And, Paul DeJong was a shortstop most of his career, very under control guy. Made some really nice plays last night defensively at short for the Nationals.
Yeah, he made one particular terrific
sparkling to his
defensive
right, yeah.
play. I'm not sure if Abrams would have made to that point, Charlie. So we'll be excited to see him back in the lineup offensively, but I don't think they're going to miss a ton defensively with DeJong moving over to short. What'd you make of Dylan Cruz's base running to steal a run last night. I thought that was a heady winning play. And then also, he had a hit and an RBI taken away on a changed scoring. Did you have any issue with the scoring on that?
Well, you know, too many times now we see scoring as being based on exit velocity. It's kind of like if it's in the 90s, they're going to score it an error. And if it's over 100, when maybe it should be an error, they're going to score it a hit. You know, that ball did something that stayed down on Betts. I don't know if the official score decided that he didn't get low enough for it and that it was a fieldable ball. You know, that happens when plays can go either way. To me, if it's 98 miles an hour or 102, if you think you should field it, great. Make call it an error. If you think it was hit hard enough or it's a difficult play for him to make, it should be a hit. I don't think the exit velocity should matter that much if there isn't that much of a difference on whether you determine how hard a ball is hit to score it a hit or an error.
Trevor, the Kaber Ruiz has been off to a pretty awesome start. There's still some of those moments, though, where you're kind of going, the growth isn't all the way there yet, and here's what I mean. Like, you know, 2-0 count, swinging at a pitch out of the zone or swinging at a pitch that hits him here and there, but there's still been enough progress where he looks so good, he's throwing the ball better, as a catcher kind of bouncing around a little bit. I'm kind of buying this sort of 2.0 version of Ruiz as he's continuing to grow.
Yeah, and it's nice for him to show it against the Dodgers who traded him away when they didn't think he would ever, you know, surpass Will Smith or anybody else to be on their big league roster as a starter or a backup catcher. You know, for him right now, he was embarrassed at the way last year played out, and he really worked hard in the offseason, and he dedicated himself to getting into better condition, dedicated himself to be better at trying to block balls and work on his throwing, dedicated himself on working with the pitchers and game plans and calling the right pitches when they need to and kind of taking charge. And that's still a work in progress. But at the plate, you know, we saw so many chases and so many times where he made contact on bad pitches, and you had weekly balls in play for outs. There's still, like you said, some of that there, but we've seen more good decisions so far that you really like, that he's been able to turn into hits from either side of the plate and driving some runs. So, and they've been timely. They've been big hits at big times in the game.
Yeah, 7 runs batted in 9 games played for him, and he's hit safely in 8 of those as a 981 OPS. Charlie, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right. We'll see you later.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.